Hello and welcome everybody here at Pinch Points at Radio Dreieckland, in our tiny studio. Did you have a nice trip from, I don't know, where did you come from actually last night?
From Black Forest, Schwarzwald.
From Schwarzwald?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's quite nice there, isn't it?
Like, it's really nice, yeah. We got to go for a walk today in the forest and eat some Black Forest cake in Black Forest.
Yeah, that's what people usually do in Black Forest. Is it your first time playing gigs in Germany or in Europe in general?
As a band, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
true,
as
a band.
Yes, it is our first time. Playing?
Yeah, well, we played some shows in Hamburg, Berlin, and Leipzig maybe a few days ago.
Copenhagen.
Yeah, this tour is our first tour or shows outside of Australia, so it's big and exciting.
So how is it going?
Very good.
Good.
Yeah, it's been amazing getting to just drive into a city on the other side of the world and, you know, for one night only you're just immersed in amazing DIY music culture, and everyone's really enjoyed the music, so it's been a dream.
Cool. I mean, you're from Melbourne, and I guess that you heard this comparison very often, but for example, Emil and the Sniffers also are from Melbourne, play also the same kind of music. Are you already bored of this comparison?
No. No, it's great. Yeah, we love the Melbourne community and scene and love to see other Melbourne bands doing well. And yeah.
Yeah, we love Emil and the Sniffers. Great people, great music.
Yeah, and bands like them who are big overseas, they kind of pave the way for us to come and, you know, be able to play some good shows.
It's been nice. We go to stay at different venue accommodation and we see like little notes on the walls from other Aussie bands that we know. So it's kind of nice to be like, hey, it's those guys. And
so does Melbourne scene also support each other, like bands also support each other, and you can benefit from this?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because the Melbourne scene is very active but is often a bit insular. It's very isolated. So a lot of bands can be very big in Melbourne but no one knows about them outside of that.
Like you go to Sydney and you don't get as many people. But yeah, Melbourne, there's lots of support for each other. And
like we've had more people at some of these shows than we have at shows in Sydney.
Okay.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But the Melbourne scene kind of has to support itself because that's the way that it functions.
Mm-hmm. Everyone really cares about, I think, the scene in Melbourne. They look out for each other, and there are so many bands playing similar music but also different music. Like when we did our album launch, you know, we had a bit of a variation in the style of music, and yeah, it's a huge community.
Mm. Okay, cool. So when I saw doing research for your music was the album cover, obviously.
Yeah.
And there is this, I don't know if it's a computer chip shown on the album. And I was wondering what does this have to do with your music? Because for me it's like a machinery thing, and your music really doesn't sound like a machine or a machine would do this.
I guess we've used the machinery imagery a lot before in the songwriting, kind of about us, because like a machine has all of its parts, but then it only functions as a whole. And it's about like talking about the band as a machine and society and the world as a machine. And then the album cover was a photo of a
processor,
a CPU from a computer. So it was kind of like the idea of us being like, we are inside the band, we are our own kind of processor, and we process and work through things and trying to
work through emotions, work through climate, work through, I guess, like processing the way that we perceive society, and it's a Intel processor chip, so I guess it like relates in that way, and that's why we call it the album process as well.
But the machine doesn't have emotions, it doesn't have a heart, so you somehow have to fill this machine with emotions.
Yeah, but it's about, about like how sometimes I think seeing yourself as a machine can be helpful, but also unhelpful, depending on how much you want to distance yourself from what you're doing. Like sometimes a bit of distance allows you to engage without the emotions becoming too overwhelming. And if you're getting too emotional about it, then that kind of mechanical approach allows you to just kind of calm down. But then other times, that's kind of the way the world wants you to work, and you don't want to be completely alienated from what you're doing.
Okay. Like talking about emotions, your song, like a strong emotion is anxiety. I think your album opener, Reasons to be Anxious, deals with a lot of these topics that make you feel anxious, like climate change and pogroms and stuff like that. But it's also had so much more included. Like I think it has a strong focus on the COVID-19 pandemic. So is the song like your hymn for like to be anxious about all stuff that's happening in the world, and like world is fucked up, but also in the same way of like also being okay to show emotions, like also okay to say, okay, I'm anxious about that and I need to step back and not everything is okay.
That's pretty much it.
Definitely. That second point about sometimes with emotions when they get really big, I think when you name them, then you can address them. And part of it is about naming our own feelings around it, but also letting other people know that it's okay to just name your emotions and feel them. You don't need to solve them. Like a person isn't a problem that needs to be fixed. You can kind of be in those emotions and be with other people to help you cope rather than you having those feelings being a problem.
Yeah, I think it reminds me of when we were talking to our label, Mistletone, Sophie, who's part of that duo. We were talking about this idea of shared grief and like the way that, yeah, we're naming all these emotions and sort of just like getting out all these things that we feel, yeah, all of the external stimuli of the world that maybe make us anxious. And it can be a lot for a listener or an audience member, but I think a lot of people who've seen the shows, especially in Europe, kind of appreciate this cathartic approach to music, and it's almost like a live show. It could be a group therapy session, or there's something maybe nice in the long run about all being there together and being open about the way that the world makes you feel. Maybe it can be kind of inviting, even though initially it can seem really overwhelming and stress-inducing.
Like, yeah, whatever a funeral is to sadness or grief, I think some of our songs are like that for anxiety. Like you don't go to a funeral so that you can stop crying. You go to a funeral so that you can cry together. And a lot of the record, I think, was about just being kind of, together.
So
it's an anxiety funeral.
But the music video is also, it shows a person dancing to the song. And at the first glance, I was wondering, okay, it doesn't really fit together, but maybe it's just a way of scoping with anxiety, like just try to dance and see the positive.
That I think that's what we're going for, because we didn't really want to have like this really, I guess,
angsty
but like negative kind of feeling, because the song is already quite, you know, like talking about anxiety. We wanted to like balance that out, because you know you can work through it together. You know, I think the song is also us kind of like, we've expressed that emotion now, and now we want to like, you know, dance with it, or like we can celebrate it in some ways, because you know we've voiced it and we've been able to communicate in a way that is different from just bottling it in. So it's kind of like letting loose and letting those emotions kind of out and in like acknowledging them. So by dancing to it, by like walking around the streets and just like vibing with your own emotions, I feel like that's kind of what that video clip represents.
And I think a lot of people were exhausted by talking about the pandemic at that point, and there were a few pandemic references in the song, so we thought it would just be a bit too much to have a video that was really literal with the lyrics, and we thought, let's just have a bit of fun with it.
Mm. So taking care of emotions also plays a big role in the song, Am I Okay, obviously. So do you yourself as a band have a, I don't know, mechanism to take some rest, take care of yourself? I can imagine it being very hard when you're on tour and you always stick together and there's no room for every single person just to be alone.
It's tricky. This is the first tour we've done that's this long. So it's something that we've talked about like leading into the tour and we're, I guess, just like figuring out as we go right now. So I don't really like have all the answers, but I think just beforehand we talked about trying to be open with each other and, you know, give each other space when we need it and respect how each other are feeling, not kind of bombard them if they seem like they need some quiet time, but also check in if that seems necessary. But yeah, I don't know. It's
so far we've been dealing with it quite well and working together quite well.
Yeah.
You kind of settle into a bit of a rhythm and I feel like we're at that point now and we have pretty good communication and we want to support each other on tour and we know that it's a bit of a grind and it's a bit exhausting, so I feel like we're doing a good job. Go team. Love you all.
Yeah. Cool. So fingers crossed that it continues.
Yes. Hopefully you don't hear from us in like another week and we're like, we've broken up. I hate their guts.
We're going into group therapy. You can wait for the documentary.
So hopefully it's not the last interview and this is like the breakup interview.
I don't think so. We're strong.
Yeah.
So you're also singing that you have to take care of yourself for a change. So taking care and taking rest also is an important thing to change. Also the change of society.
Yeah.
I think it was, we wanted to be... like draw attention to that people, look after yourself. You don't need to be, it doesn't need to be all about looking after other people. But it was also kind of from a perspective wanting to make fun of the idea of how much modern culture talks, or at least in the West talks about self-care as though it's your responsibility to look after yourself and it's not the world's fault. Because like the world is a really messed up place. But then everything tells you that you need to make time for yourself. And it was kind of wanting to, say, yes, that is true, but that's not the whole story. The other side of the story is that we want the world to be a place where people are looked after rather than a place where you have to retreat into a space of self-care, where you, like the world should look after you. It shouldn't be about, oh, you need to calm down and rest and retreat from the world. You should be able to rest in the world. You shouldn't have to go home to be okay.
Don't get burnt out.
Yeah, don't get burnt out.
But also it's the world's fault that you're burnt out. It's not yours.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But like there are two sides, two opposite sides on your album, I guess. And the first two songs, like Reasons to be Anxious and Stock It, really, I think, sum up this overwhelming idea of having everything available at all the time, the consequences of global capitalism and its crisis. Like you start with your album and it's like in the beginning you feel like overwhelmed maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Is this also something you wanted to do? And what does this say about our society?
Well, I think with that it was a bit of an, we wanted to, have a progression of, I can't really remember the full track listing now, but I think it was meant to be like, start off with what we are kind of like anxious, stressed about, things that we think could be improved within the world, things that we think, you know, it could be done differently. And then we kind of go a bit in a journey and come out with like, well, like there's lots of shit things in the world and there's lots of things that are kind of scary and like not really being like done the way they should be done. And then we come out with kind of like we're have a bit of positivity at the end of it. Like there is hope that things can get better. There is hope that, you know, it's not all doom and gloom as long as we do something about it and take action in that. Yeah.
Kind of like it. Yeah. The album just goes through a process of symptoms, diagnosis, treatment, kind of.
Okay, so the album title is also like the process of making the album, but also going through the album in different steps and Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
So this is also what I thought with the song Relentlessly Positive, because it's just at the end of the album. It's like a happy ending Hollywood movie. So we wanted to not let the world finish with a like, okay, everything's fucked up, but with a positive message.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. However, I didn't write the lyrics to the song, but it has this kind of self-aware tone to it of like, okay, everything's all good, but then it's also maybe saying like it's okay if it's not all good, and maybe it's referencing the need to put a happy ending on things.
Yeah, it's about you don't need to see things in a positive. I don't know how to properly explain it. It's like you don't need to force yourself to see things in a positive light, but it's about kind of just almost having a kind of a faith in other people and kind of. I think it was, at least from my perspective when I was writing some of the words, was a process of going through, like a lot of our songs are kind of like, am I okay, is a very, generally a very positive message, but the song kind of sounds a bit angry. And then we have other songs that sound kind of angry, like that are angry, but sound kind of more optimistic. And it was about wanting to make something that was a bit more just kind of, like actually just kind of positive across the board and saying like, you don't have to make fun of things. Every now and then you can just slow down and be like, the world is nice, or at least trying to see the world as a nice place can be helpful. And also the rest of the album was very angry.
So you believe in the good, like the good thing in people, and you're not assuming people are like from nature bad.
Well, at least I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you know, there's a lot of good that people can do, and there's a lot of good in the world. But like, it's just putting that to action, and trying to be positive about that, I guess.
Like, I think a lot of the anger in the songs comes from a space about being angry by this. There's like this space between the humanity of people and the inhumanity of the world. Or society, and I think that's why we're angry. It's like,
yeah,
if we're operating from a place where we want to believe in each other and we do believe in each other, and we keep making these mistakes, I think that's where the anger comes from.
Mm. So, would you agree on like my imagination that the album is establishing a coordinate system, and on the one hand you have the anxiety and anger, and on the other hand you have like positivity and hope.
Yeah.
And where would you, like, see yourself in this coordinate system?
In the middle, pulling towards the positive end, but getting dragged back towards the negative end.
It's a constant battle, I think. But for me, I'd probably say I'm more towards the positive end, trying to be positive about humanity and the world.
Right now, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, right now, I feel pretty good. We'll
I feel like
happens.
It's about like having both those emotions like together. Inside you, and sometimes they're battling, and sometimes you slip towards one end. But you know, we all generally try to be on the positive side, look out for each other, but let those angry feelings out at
I
other
think
times.
It's good to be angry, because anger is something that can positively impact the world with change.
Anger is when anger is about justice rather than hate.
Yeah.
So it's also a process, one could say.
Yes, a process.
Good job.
So this anger, are you also transporting this on stage when you're doing your live shows?
No, I don't.
I mean, maybe it seems to some people like we are, because we may be stomping around and we shout a lot, but we like to call ourselves Smile Punk, and we like to, you know, have fun when we play. We do have fun, and yeah, we're not trying to like be angry for the sake of being angry.
Yeah, because making music and playing music together is overall a pretty fun thing, and getting to do it overseas, especially with your friends or on stage, having a good time.
That sounds nice, like looking forward to see you tonight in Slow Club in Freiburg. But one very angry song, and probably my favorite song of the album, is Wörter. I don't know if I pronounce it correctly.
Wörter.
Okay. I studied metrology, actually, and I had to look up what Wörter is, but then I found out, okay, it's a cloud. Nice, and I saw really nice pictures. And also in the song you're singing, I don't know, like there's rain, but it doesn't hit the ground,
that,
I guess.
That's what Virga is, rain that evaporates before it lands.
Yeah, yeah, true. I found that out. Yeah, forgot it from my like long-lasting studies. Does this have any meaning, or is it just a description of this cloud?
It was kind of referencing the bushfires. What year was that? I've lost
2019
track of
the years. To 2020.
Yeah, and it's a political song, basically about ScoMo just not being like anywhere in the country.
And that's our former prime minister.
That's Scott Morrison.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Our government's inaction over the really bad bushfire season that we had. So talking about even if it was raining, the country was on fire and it wouldn't have been hitting the ground in a sense.
There were a lot of promises, and it was about announcing the promises, not about fulfilling the promises. The money was always on its way, but it never landed.
Mm, okay. Ah, okay. So double meaning. I think I also liked the song because of its samples. It includes, yeah. And I watched the the speech of
you found
Scott.
The video.
Oh wow, yeah, that's yeah. Interesting to hear.
Where this Scott Morrison, I think,
yeah, Scott Morrison.
Brought a piece of coal into the parliament, and I was like, okay, that's really like also in Germany, people start, or at least the government starts discussing about reintroducing coal power plants again because of energy crisis. So it's kind of a recent topic, but. Can you tell me something about the process, again, process of making the song? Because I think it's the only song that has a sample included, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to sample it because it was relevant to the subject of the song, but we listened to a version with him just speaking cleanly, and we felt like maybe it wasn't clear enough that we're not fans, so we felt like we had to make him a bit more like a goblin. I think Adam sliced up what he was saying, so he's actually saying the opposite.
Yeah, so, yeah. We had a bit of help as well from Anna Laverty, who helped us with producing the album. So we threw around a couple of ideas with that and, like, the air horn at the start as well, because it has that air horn. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, like, I guess a bit a disaster-y kind of feeling, and then it kind of goes into this, like, demonic growl of just how much of like a piece of shit Scott Morrison was.
It's one of the good things about one of the good things about writing about this kind of stuff is that either the songs are relevant or the problem is solved. And to an extent, there was an election in Australia in May, and Scott Morrison lost the election. So in a sense, it's not as relevant in Australia anymore, which is a good thing. But also, we're still digging coal mines. Like, it's going to keep happening. Australia is very good at digging things out of the ground and putting it on boats. It's kind of what we do,
yeah.
Which is sad.
I mean, in Germany, there are also these really big open coal pits. So impressive and very sad to see them. Another song I was like wondering about the album title. I hope I pronounce it correctly now. Haruspex. Yeah. I mean, the song is about gender violence and male behavior. Mm. And I was looking up what Haruspex is, and it comes from ancient Rome.
Yeah.
But how did this come together with the song, with the topic of gender violence?
It was kind of like a Haruspex is someone who would divine the future from the entrails of animals. And it was kind of like the idea of in Australia at least, every time there's like a woman is found dead on the street or killed by her partner, there's this huge conversation about, oh, we need to change the culture, we need to change what we're teaching our boys, or we need to change the way that girls are dressing or going out at night. And it was just the idea that the conversation only seemed to move every time a woman died. And it was like, how many sacrificial animals, in a sense, need to be delivered into the system for it to change? And it was kind of really, I think we were just kind of fed up.
Also, it's like, do we really need to tell the future by butchering, you know, animals, which, you know, we shouldn't have to do that. We know what our future is and what our path is and
what it should be.
And I guess, like, it's like that kind of like fortune telling thing, like, as well, like, is it going to happen again? When it happens again, what's going to change and how can we change it?
Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of a very, yeah, very much emotions in your album.
Yeah.
Are you planning, like, is it, like, now you're on tour, of course, but is it already, are there any plans for a new record, or are you just saying, okay, maybe fix with these emotions, take a step back and see what's going on?
Well, we wrote this album, like, almost 2 years ago now?
Yeah, we started writing,
There's a few ideas bumping around, but we haven't actually started writing properly
yet.
No,
yeah, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, this current album.
Yeah, it was a while ago now.
Yeah, it's quite a while ago.
Yeah, so I think now we're probably ready to start writing again, but we haven't really started writing again yet.
We need the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long process for us because we try and be really collaborative and all have our ideas heard and, you know, we've all been pretty busy with our jobs and everything, so... Just focusing on getting this tour happening properly and having fun.
There will be stuff in the works, though, eventually, but it just takes time.
Okay. But, I mean, yeah, you're just first on tour, and tonight you're playing at Slow Club in Freiburg. Really looking forward to it. So thanks a lot, Pinch Points, for the interview and your time.
Thank you.
Dankeschön.
Thanks for having us.
Dankeschön.
And, yeah, have a nice tour.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll see you tonight.
Auf Wiedersehen.